verses, starting in verse 41. Very familiar story about the life of David coming up against the giant Goliath. The word of the Lord says, "So the Philistine came, and he began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field.' Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with the sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for your grace and the presence, God, that you've allowed us to experience in this place tonight, God. Thank you, Lord, for joining us tonight in this service. We pray, God, that we would be able to give you liberty to have your way in every area of our life, God. Remove every distraction from our heart and from our mind, God. Remove, my God, any disturbance, God. And I just pray that you would open up our hearts, our minds, and our understanding to receive everything, God, that you would have for our lives, God. You are the difference maker in our lives, God. You are the life changer. You are the one that lifts us up. You are the one that provides for us. You are the one that makes a river in the desert and a path in the wilderness for us, Lord. And because of that, we come to you, Lord. We pray that you would have your way in our hearts this evening, that you would mold us and shape us to be more like you and less like ourselves, God. Give me grace this evening to minister your word with the gift that you have given me, God, that you might be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, God bless you. You can be seated. I want to thank the Lord this evening for my salvation. Thank Pastor Danny, Sister Barbara, the ministers on staff here at our church for this opportunity to be with you and speak the message that I believe God has placed on my heart to share this evening. We see here a very familiar story about the life of David. And if we take the time to read about David and his journey that got him to the place where he was facing the giant Goliath, and we'll get into that in a little bit, we see that it was a story that is set with a lot of opposition. And then we see that David finds himself in a valley confronting the biggest challenge of his life. We see David coming up against a giant by the name of Goliath that stood in the way of him fulfilling the plan and the purpose that God had for his life. We see that David is facing a giant, an impossible situation. We see a young man that had never tasted the field of battle. We see a young man whose life had been surrounded by sheep in the wilderness, and all of a sudden his environment changed to where he was on a battlefield surrounded by men that were trained in the art of war, and he found himself challenging the greatest champion that the Philistines had ever produced. I can't help but ask myself the question, what happened in the life of David that gave him the courage or the audacity, if you will, to stand in a valley and call out a great champion of the Philistines? What motivated David to take such a great leap of faith? What was it that happened inside of his heart? What happened inside of his mind that he got the courage, that he had the willingness to step out into a battlefield that he had never stepped onto before and face a giant that could probably crush him with one hand? What is it about an individual that makes a decision to do the impossible and to do something that the world tells them can't be done? What is it that happens in the life of an individual where all they've heard all their life is that they'll never amount to anything, that they'll never accomplish anything, that they'll have to settle for a certain kind of life? What happens in the life of an individual that prompts them to take upon the biggest challenges of their lives? I want you to know tonight that what happened in the life of David is that he had a shift in his mindset. He had a change in the way that he looked at the world. He had a change in the way that he looked at life. He had a change in what he thought about himself. And he had a change in what he thought that others thought about him. You see, the biggest power that we have in our lives is a changed mind. When we go from I can't to I can, and we change our mind, is when we start stepping out to do those things that we never thought that we could accomplish. When we step out of I shouldn't to I will, is when we step into the arena of faith and we're able to see everything that God is able to do in our life. But if we never change our mindset, we'll always be stuck in the same place doing the same thing over and over and over. It doesn't matter if you change your hairdo. It doesn't matter if you change the way that you dress. It doesn't matter if you change your address or change the city that you live in. If you can change everything around you, but if there's not a change in the way that we think, nothing will ever change. If we don't change our mentality and the things that are in our mind, we will never allow God to do the impossible in our lives. You know, there are people that do tremendous things, that are very successful, that are very prominent and rich people. And then there's other people that are just average people. What makes the difference in those two types of people's lives? What makes the difference between a person that just ekes out a meager existence and somebody that goes out and does a great exploits for God, or goes on to be successful, or goes out to make a name for themselves? You see, there is a saying that says that famous and successful people are rewarded in public for what they do in private. There's another saying that boxers are not showcased or not made in the ring. They're made in the gym. What happens is what we need to do is we need to change our mind on a daily basis and allow God to fill our hearts and our minds with I can instead of I can't. He was willing to change his mind. And if you read the story in the chapters preceding the portion of scripture that we read, we see that there was people that came against David. Because how many know there's always going to be haters? The Bible says that when David showed up to the battlefield, his own brother called him proud and told him, what was he doing and what was he thinking? Because there will always be people that talk about us. There will always be people that tell us that we shouldn't do things or that we can't do things. And those are usually the people that aren't doing anything in their own lives. You see, when David stepped out into the battlefield, there was a giant army of the men of Israel that were unwilling to step onto the same battlefield as David. And I can imagine that as they were looking, and as they were talking amongst themselves, they were probably saying, oh, David's going to get killed. They were probably saying, that little boy don't stand a chance against that giant Goliath. What was he thinking? He shouldn't be doing those things. He must have been had a horrible life growing up. He's on a suicide mission. David's a kamikaze. He's walking into the certain death. They were probably talking about it and gossiping. And all the time, David is walking down into the battlefield, picking up rocks along the way and doing everything that all those people were unwilling to do. You see, because people are going to talk about us all of our lives. But people like David that are on a mission ain't got time for that noise. I don't know about you, but I ain't got time to gossip about people. I'm too busy taking care of my own business.
I'm too busy trying to get a hold of the things of God. I'm too tired. I'm too busy trying to get a hold of going to Mighty Men of Valor. I'm too busy taking care of my children. I'm too busy being a grandfather to my granddaughter and my grandson. I'm too busy for gossip and people talking about other people and people talking about me and saying that I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I ain't got time for that. I got giants to kill in my life. I got things that I need to accomplish. I got things that God wants to accomplish in my life. I ain't got time. People usually are looking at the lives of other people because they ain't got nothing going on in their life anyway. You know, yesterday was a real busy day for me. Woke up early, took care of some business. Our life group went out to pass out flyers. And then me and my son did some things running around because he's getting ready to move into his new house. And I was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, son, what do you want to do? He goes, Dad, I need a nap. My son's 26 years old. Can't hang with his pops. And I told him, you know what, son, that sounds like a good idea. Let's go home. I sit down on the couch, take my shoes off, get ready to take a little nap, had some stuff I needed to do later on. I said, catch a little nap right here, and I get a phone call. It's my daughter. She goes, Dad, we're at Cliffs, and Layla, your granddaughter, is asking that it would be nice if Grandpa was here. And I'm like, Mija, I'm tired. We just got back, had a busy day, and got my shoes off. She goes, Dad, but you're her favorite grandpa. I said, I'll be there in 15 minutes, Mija. Got on the freeway, took off to Cliffs. I'm too busy looking for ways to spoil my grandchildren to be worried about what other people are saying. You see, the Bible says that there were people that were talking about David. There, and it prompts me to ask the question is, what do people say about us? What do people say about us? You know what they were saying about David? There was one guy that when Saul had a distressing spirit, and he was overwhelmed because of what was taking place. The Philistines were encamped around them. They had this giant Goliath yelling at them. King Saul didn't have a good relationship with God. So he's tormented. Some distressing spirit is all over him. He's all anxiety, probably needed Xanax, but he couldn't think straight. And somebody came up to him and said, I know a guy. There's a young man by the name of David. He is the son of Jesse. He's a sheep herder. He plays the harp. We should bring him because he can play a song that'll soothe you. David had people that talked good about him. He had a good testimony. What about us? You know what keeps us from doing great things and killing the giants in our lives sometimes is we don't have a good testimony. We haven't stuck in there long enough. We have a testimony of giving up when things get hard. We have a testimony of not fulfilling things in our life. We have a testimony of not following through with our commitments. We have a testimony of not being faithful. We have a testimony of not being able to be counted on. We have a testimony of like, well, I don't know if he's going to show up or if he's not going to show up. We don't have a good testimony for people to say when they need somebody that they can count on that you're the first person that they call. When they were looking for somebody to calm down King Saul, David was the first person that came to mind because there were things in his life, in his testimony, that were profitable to the king, and they sent him to go and comfort Saul. Not only did his brothers talk bad about him, but then David, when he came to Saul, the Bible says that he told him that he would go out and fight the giant. And what did Saul tell him? He told him, you're just a little kid. He goes, you're just a youth. And this man has been a warrior since he was a little kid. He told him, you can't do it. It is impossible for you to kill the giant Goliath. There is no way that you can accomplish the task that is before you. There is no way that you can ever be somebody. There is no way that you can ever accomplish anything in your life. The king told David that he couldn't do it. You know, a lot of times the things that we hear in our lives are they come from a lot of different directions. Sometimes the voices that tells us that we can't are cultural voices. because of the way that we grew up. Our family tells us or tries to dictate to us how far we can go in life. Our family tries to tell us what a good life would look like for us. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, they always told me I was going to grow up to be just like my dad. And that would have been a good thing if he was a doctor or a lawyer or some construction business owner, but my dad was a career criminal. So I thought growing up that the best that I could ever be was a career criminal. I thought that the best that I could ever amount to being was being a drug addict, gang member, growing up in the neighborhood, doing time. I thought that that was the best that I could ever accomplish in my life. A lot of times our family, our culture, because of where we grew up, the family environment that we had growing up, because some people were messed up. Maybe your dad was an alcoholic. Maybe your mom wasn't home. Maybe you had an absentee father. Maybe you grew up poor like I did. Maybe you grew up in an environment where it was a lot of chaos and madness. So you grew up thinking that that's all life could give you. You start thinking that you have to settle for whatever little bit life gives you. I want you to know tonight that the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We don't have to limit what God can do in our lives because God has so much more for us. If that was the case, we would all be here thinking, oh, well, because of my education and because of my criminal background, there's no way that I can ever get a good job. I might as well just flip burgers for the rest of my life. I'm going to be a ditch digger. I'm going to be out there just earning minimum wage for the rest of my life. But I want you to know when you change your mindset, when you start thinking outside the box, when you start thinking that you're no longer that person that you used to be, that you serve a God that is able to do the impossible, that you serve a God that is able to open up doors of opportunity, all of a sudden you start walking into the goodness of God. All of a sudden God starts to give you promotions. All of a sudden God opens doors for great jobs. All of a sudden you enter in as just a regular person, and a few months later you're a supervisor in a company that reaches the whole country. All of a sudden you find yourself where you're not struggling to make a living because God is faithful. You've changed the way that you think. You're not giving up. You're going forward and trusting that God is able to do those things in your life. Society says things about us as well. They say that because we were addicts, or because we've been in jail, because we've been in prison, because we've been in program, that there is only so far that we can go in life. Imagine if Pastor Sonny would have bit into that lie. Imagine if he would have bit into the lie that said, once a junkie, always a junkie. Imagine if he would have bit into the lie when they told him, Sonny, you're never going to build a ministry with ex-drug addicts and gang members. They don't have any money. There's no way that you're going to build a church or a ministry. What if he would have bit into that lie and not changed his mindset? We would still be in East LA with just one church. But instead, because Pastor Sonny changed his mindset and he said, I'm not going to buy into the lie of the enemy. I'm going to trust and believe that God is going to raise up a ministry of ex-drug addicts, ex-alcoholics, ex-gang members that are going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the four corners of the world. He didn't bite into the lie. He stepped into the valley. He picked up a few stones and he looked at the giant of doubt face to face and he said, even though you're telling me I can't do it, my God says that I can. You might come to me with doubt and fear, but I'm coming to you in faith and trust in God. God is able to do the impossible in our lives. You see, the Bible says that when David stepped out into that battlefield, the giant Goliath met him and he started to tell him that he was insignificant, that he was nobody, that how dare him even attempt to challenge the Philistine giant. Who are you to challenge me? You're a little boy. You're insignificant. You're never going to amount to anything. You're coming to me with a little stick. I'm going to take you out. He tried to instill fear in the life of David. He tried to instill doubt in the life of David. But once David found himself on that battlefield, there was no going back. There was no getting out of it. He had made a decision. He had purposed in his heart. He had purposed in his mind that he was going to trust God and that he was going to kill that giant. So he told them, today, God is going to deliver you into my hands. I'm going to cut your head off and we're going to feed the carcasses of all the Philistine army to the birds of the air. That is what God is going to do today. You see, the enemy will always try to put fear and doubt in our lives. He's the one that comes and tells you, you can't do it. He's the one that comes and tells you, you shouldn't even try it. You're doing okay right now. You know, when I first came back to the home 4 years ago, I came with this mentality. I said, God, if I can just get clean. That's all I want, God. I just want to get clean. I just don't want to go back. I just don't want to shoot dope no more. I don't want to be at 5 o'clock in the morning standing in line at the methadone clinic anymore, God. I just want to be clean. I just want to live a normal life, God. Just make me clean, God, so that I don't have to go back. The devil had told me that that's all I would ever amount to. You've messed up, Mark. You'll never regain what God had for you. Just settle for being a clean addict, and that's as far as you're going to go. And I believed that lie for the first few months that I was in the home. But then all of a sudden, God started to do something inside of my heart. All of a sudden, I started to feel the call of God on my life. All of a sudden, I started to think God has more for me. There's still something that God wants to use my life for. I'm not going to settle for just being a clean addict. I'm not going to settle for just going through the home. I know that God has a plan and a purpose for my life. And I'm not going to settle for just some meager existence. I'm not going to settle for just being a churchgoer. I'm not going to settle for just being a person that completed the home. I want to do something in the kingdom of God that's going to bring honor and glory to my Savior, to the one that set me free, to the one that delivered me from the pit of despair. I want to bring honor and glory to His name. You see, the devil will try to put doubt and fear in our lives and tell us that we can't, that this is as far as you're going to get. I want you to know tonight that if you're in the men's and the women's home, God has more for you than just completing the home. He has more for you than just getting clean. He has more for you than just going out and getting a 9-to-5 minimum wage job. God has so much more for you, but you got to step out onto the field. You got to pick up some rocks and you got to face that giant face to face and say, I'm coming in the name of the Lord. I don't know what you've been told. I don't know what you've been up to. All I know is that God is with me and He has a plan and a purpose for my life. You know, I can imagine that a lot of things were probably going through David's mind during the time that he's facing the giant. One of the things that always crosses our minds when we attempt something new in our life, what if I fail? When we think about what our life could be, when we start thinking about how our life would look like if things went right, there's a thought that comes into our mind that says, what if you fail? What if it doesn't work out? What if you fall flat on your face? What if you embarrass yourself? What if things don't work out and God's not there to catch you? We start to fill our minds with reasons why we shouldn't. Because we're fueled by doubt and by fear instead of by faith. Because even if we attempt to do something new in our lives, even if we fail, what are we going to do? We'll get up and try it again. What if it doesn't work out? Then I'll get up and I'll try it again. What if this plan doesn't work out? Then I'll get myself up and I'll try it again because I serve a God that is willing to be there with me. I serve a God that is able to deliver me. I serve a God that is able to lift me up. I serve a God that is able to see things through. Even if it doesn't work the first time, I'm going to keep trying. I believe that's why David had 5 stones. He wasn't going to give up after the first one. He goes, man, if the first one don't hit him, the second one will. And if the second one don't hit him, I got a third, I got a fourth, I got a fifth. And then if even that, man, I'll just strangle him with a sling. He wasn't going to give up. He was in it to win it. And that's the same kind of mentality we need to have. We're in it to win it. I'm not here to come in second. I'm not here to get a consolation prize. I'm here to win because God says that I am more than a conqueror through Him. I am victorious in Him. I'm blessed through Him. God tells me that I can do it, so I'm going to trust God and see it happen in my life. You know, the last voice, the last thing that David was thinking about, that I think was the catapult that changed his mentality, is what God said about him. Because you know what's more important than anything? Isn't what other people say about you? What the enemy says about you, that's not important. Sometimes it's not even important what you say about yourself. You know what's important is what God says about us. David was a poor shepherd boy in the field. Samuel the prophet came to his town looking for a new king. He went to the house of Jesse and he said, "Bring your sons." And they brought all his sons except for one that was still out in the shepherd's field. And he went through every one of his sons and he said, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed." And God said, "That's not him." Progressively went through all the sons. And you know what the Bible says? That Samuel said, "Do you have another son?" He said, "Yeah, I have a younger son. He's out there in the field somewhere. That's what he likes to do, hang out over there." He said, "Bring him. We will not sit down." I thought that was so significant. "We will not sit down until he comes here." You know, back in the days when they instituted worship in the temple, they would read the scrolls. And the priest would never sit down in the temple. It was a symbol that God's word was continual. And it never rested, it never stopped. So they would stay standing. The Bible says when Jesus went, and I believe it's Luke chapter 4. And he started to read the scrolls out of the book of Isaiah, the 41st chapter, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." The Bible says that after he read that portion of scripture, he closed up the scroll and he sat down, symbolizing that the work was completed in him. Symbolizing that the word had come to fruition in him. He sat down indicating, "Today the word is fulfilled in your hearing. It's done." Samuel, by the same token, said, "We're not going to sit down. It's not finished until David comes here. It's not finished until we see if he is the one that God has chosen. We're not going to sit down until David comes here. That's when the work will be completed." The Bible says that they brought David before Samuel. And Samuel hears a voice from heaven that says, "He's the one." Three words that changed David's life. He is the one. Changed his life forever. He got understanding in his heart and in his mind that he was chosen by God. Hand selected, anointed, empowered with supernatural power from on high to be the king of Israel. Once he took it and he understood it and it sunk into his mind and his understanding and into his heart that he was the one, that God had chosen him, that God was going to be with him. It's something that he protected in his heart for the rest of his life. When times got tough, he kept reminding himself, "I'm the one. God has chosen me. God has selected me. God has anointed me. It doesn't matter how hard the battle gets. It doesn't matter how big giants I gotta face. I'm the one that God has chosen. God is with me. His anointing is upon my life." You see, but that anointing and that selection is not exclusive to David. The Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. God has chosen us. God has chosen us. The ministry of Victory Outreach. God has chosen us, ex-gang members, ex-drug addicts, ex-alcoholics, ex-prostitutes. God has chosen us. We are the ones. And when the enemy comes against us and tells us that we can't, we can tell the enemy, I am the one that God has chosen. He has pre-selected me. The Bible says that before I was in my mother's womb, He knew me. He predestined me. My life has been in His hands since before I was born. I am the one that God has chosen. I think that a lot of times that's what keeps us from accomplishing what God has in our life. Is we don't let that sink into our heart, into our mind, that we are the one. Of all the people that you know that are dead or spending the rest of their lives in prison or out there on the streets or have their lives messed up, for some reason God chose you. He brought you to the home. He brought you to the church. He introduced you to salvation because you are the one, and there is no limit to what you can do because God is with you. You know, after David killed the giant Goliath, the Bible says that he took his sword and it ended up in the city of Nob with a priest. David became a very famous man. They used to sing songs about him. He was more popular than the king of Israel once he killed the giant Goliath. But the Bible says that Saul got jealous of David and tried to kill him. And the Bible says that David took off. He fled to the city of Nob. And he asked the priest, do you guys have a sword? And they said, the only sword that we have is the one that you killed Goliath with. He said, give it to me. And he took it when he fled to the cave of Adullam. And in the loneliest point in his life, where he felt abandoned, where he felt like his life was going nowhere, the only thing that he had in that time of desperation with him in the cave of Adullam was the sword that he had killed Goliath with. And that sword, you know, there's a lot of people say, oh, you can't live in your past. They say, oh, you got to forget about your past victories, your past successes. God's doing something new. Well, you know what? I have an argument about that. Because with the uncertainty of David's future, he had something to remember. The power of God and God's intervention in his life. And as he looked at Goliath's sword, he encouraged himself and said, if God was able to deliver the giant into my hand, God is able to take my future in his hand and make everything work out. I think sometimes we forget about what God has already done in our lives. And when we're facing those giants in our lives, instead of remembering the God that has already brought us this far, all we're seeing is the challenges and the obstacles in front of us. I don't know about you, but when the giant shows his ugly head, all I have to do is remind myself of everything that God has already done. God has delivered us from drugs. God has delivered us from alcohol. God has healed our bodies. God has provided for us. God has restored our families. God has done so many things in our lives. And if He was able to do it then, He's able to do it in the future, because God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday. He is the same today. And He is the same forever. You're the one. We need to wake up every morning and look at ourselves in the mirror and say, I'm the one. I'm the one God saved. I'm the one God changed. I'm the one God is setting free. I'm the one that God has called. I'm the one that God has a plan and a purpose for my life. I'm the one. God has chosen us. Victory Outreach Albuquerque. Of all the people, God has chosen us. He wants to use our life. He wants us to kill the giants in our life so that we can be testimonies of what God is able to do in people's lives. God is able to do exceedingly above everything that we ever expected or anticipated. God continues to blow my mind with the things that He does. When I thought I was lost and hopeless, when my own children didn't want me around, now I have a 3-year-old granddaughter that runs to me every time she sees me because she feels the love that I have for her, where before that was non-existent in my life. That's what God is able to do when you look at yourself and say, I'm the one that God has chosen. It doesn't matter what comes my way, I can be victorious.
Stand with me all over this place tonight. Come on, just bow your heads and close your eyes, and let's worship the Lord in this place for a little bit. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your hands. Just worship Him right there where you're at. Just start to thank the Lord this evening that He selected you, that He saved you, that He delivered you. Just start to thank the Lord tonight that your life is nothing like it used to be. Oh, we might not be where we want to be, but thank God we're not where we used to be. Come on, lift your voice, people of God. We worship you in this place, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We need you in this place, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We give you glory and praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're in this place tonight, God has challenged you. Maybe you've been selling yourself short. Maybe in your mind you've already felt like you want to give up. Maybe you felt like, man, I'm not getting a hold of this. Maybe this isn't for me. I want you to know tonight that you're the one. God set you free. God changed you. God brought you to this place because He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And if you're here this night and maybe you're feeling like you're going up against some giants in your life, some impossible situations, I want you to know that you're in a good place because we serve a God that is able to do the impossible. And the same God that has worked on your behalf in the past is able to work on your behalf in the future. Don't limit God. Don't limit what God can do in your life. If you've been placing limits on God because you feel that you can't, because of a lack of education, because of lack of resources, because of a lack of whatever, maybe you're not confident in yourself. We don't need to be confident in ourselves because we don't do anything on our own. It's all Jesus that works on our behalf. But if you've been selling yourself short, you're in the men's home, the women's home, you've been selling yourself short and saying, you know what? I just want to be clean. I just want a normal job. I just want the little bit that life can give me. Don't sell yourself short. God has so much more for you. I'm going to invite you from all over this place. If God is tugging at your heart and you want to say, Lord, I'm the one, God. I want to believe that with all my heart. I'm going to invite you to come from all over this place. And just fill this altar. Lift your voice before the Lord. Hallelujah.
tonight, it's you and Jesus. Lift your hands before the Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, as your hands are lifted up, I can't stress enough how important it is for us to understand the honor and the privilege of being selected by God Almighty. Can't stress enough how important that is for us to know it in our hearts and in our minds that God has chosen us, the foolish things of the world, to confound the wise. God has chosen us, the weak things of the world, to bring down the mighty. God has chosen us because it is in us that God is going to demonstrate His power, His grace, and His mercy. Because when all the world tells us that we can't, God will showcase His glory by proving to them that we can. You are in a position, brothers and sisters, to be a testimony of the miracle working power of God if only we will change our mind to believe that we're the one that God wants to use. That there is nothing impossible for our God. Come on, lift your hands. I want to pray for every person here this evening. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Lord, we love you tonight, Jesus. God, you have been so merciful and loving towards every one of us. Many of us, our lives were in disarray, God, with no hope, with no direction. But you intervened in our lives, God. Little by little, started to piece our lives back together, Lord. And here we are, God, because you have brought us to this place. We want to believe that we are the ones, that you have more for us than we could ever imagine, God. Help us to change the way that we think, God. That we would have the mind of Christ and know that you are with us and that there is nothing impossible for you. We want to see your power demonstrated in our lives, God. We want to position our lives to be a testimony to the world of what you are able to accomplish in the life of an individual that totally surrenders his life or her life to you, God. Move in the hearts of every man, every woman, every young person in this place, God. As we draw closer to you, God, that our faith and our trust in you would increase, God. That whenever we face any obstacle, any challenge, any giant in our life, that we would fight fear with faith, God. That we would trust in you. And even if we fail, God, that we'll get up and keep going forward, God. And even if it takes longer than we anticipated, God, that we would continue to trust you, God, and keep moving forward, God. And that we would be constantly reminded of all the good things that you've done in our lives, God. To build our faith, to face our future, God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, God. And we trust that in the same way that you've moved in our lives before, you will continue to do so. If you're in this place tonight and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, if you're here at this altar or maybe still in your seat, this evening you feel moved in your heart for maybe to trust God, to believe God. You want this new life. You don't want any limits on your life. You're tired of everything always ending up the same way. Everything starts with a simple prayer and accepting Jesus Christ into your life. So I'm going to invite you, if this is your first time, or maybe you need to rededicate your life, or maybe this evening, you just need a new start. Say, I'm tired of my life always ending up the same way, God. I need to change my mentality. I need to change the way that I think, God. I need to believe the impossible, God. I need to step out in faith. I need a change on the inside. Just repeat this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. I accept you into my life as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died on the cross to redeem me from the wages of my sin. That you rose from the dead, and one day you're coming back for us. Use my life to bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, praise the Lord. Give the Lord a praise offering tonight.